excuse me because I broke my glasses and I've got to use my reading glasses today. If I don't see you, don't smile at you. So please excuse me because I can't see far. All right. So if you see me a little bit serious, don't say because Pastor is serious today. It's just that I've got words here so small I can't read. I wrote it bigger and it became smaller. Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you, Father. We want to worship you in your word. We want to worship in the things that you've taught us. We want to worship with every act of yours. We want to worship you, even the Lord touching our lives, even the Lord touching everything in our life as we come before you, Father, this morning. We just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that every word that you speak today shall be word of life, shall be word, of Lord, bearing witness to you. And Lord, our lives shall be witness to others too, Father, because you live in us. Father, I submit myself to you, Father, this morning. Lord, take control. Let your spirit speak, not from the flesh, not from the mind, not from the heart, but speak, O Lord Spirit. As you speak, let it be, Lord, the word that comes fertile, and as a seed falls on fertile ground, let it be done, O Father, according to every heart who is here today, and those who will listen on the website. We just want to thank you, Father God, that you have destined our life, and our destiny shall be fulfilled in you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to Mark. We have talked about Mark. Mark seems to be a lot of encouragement to me because I'm reading the sequence. Mark wrote the gospel and it's so nice and beautiful the way he has written for the first chapter, first seven chapters. I will be preaching until the chapter seven and you will see the sequence. I'll jump one today. Last week we just saw that God was speaking to us a couple of things and he talked to us about he is cares. He cares for us. Amen. The many times we say that he doesn't care for us. He cares for us. He cares for the people. He cares for his servant. He cares for everything that we spoke about last time, last week, from the passage of Mark chapter 6, verse 32. We read from last week longer. And he, from 32 even to 44. Today I want to read from 45 to 51. Mark chapter 6, verse 45 to 51. Immediately he came. He made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining of row at rowing, for the wind was against them. Let me read that verse again. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves, beyond measure, and marveled. For they all, we'll just stop there, okay, fair enough. Praise God. The word of God is so encouraging. Praise God, so encouraging. Brothers and sisters, today's gospel we'll find, Jesus attends to his people. His disciples, they are in fear. They are in fear. Fear overwhelms us. We talked about breaking the prison. We talked about breaking prison. One of the things that we talked about is, as Christians, we have got fear. As even as believers, we have got so much of fear, more than those non-believers. They are so bold sometimes in the world. And yet we know Christ and we are fearful. See, Jesus somehow or other has got something. We might not have gone into a ship which has got so much of storm. I don't know anyone of you been. I've been into a plane where suddenly you had the air pocket which is so deep and it goes up again. That's all I had. But otherwise I don't have it. My heart went up and went down. That's all. And probably you hold on to the seat. After that, okay. But storms in the sea means it's tossing around every way. Amen. It's tossing around everywhere. There is no way that you can, airdrop is just one pocket, it's just going up and coming down. There is no tossing and tilling. Unless the pilot does it. But you see, in the storm, you have no control. So none of us have been, I don't know about you, I can speak for myself. I've not been in a storm, in a ship, in anywhere, or a boat. I only know I brought my children at a time when I was in a boat. I was trying to row. I was trying to be too smart. I almost capsized a little bit. That's the only one I know of. Otherwise, I don't know anything about storm. But you see, storm is something describes about fear. You're being tossed around in every way of life. In everything that is not in order. Everything in our life is not in order. We tend to be tossed around in our lives. Our teaching sometimes is not in order. Our theories are not in order. Sometimes our theology in Christ also is not in order. So we have to get it right. We go in storms in life. The journey is long. But the storms can be also strong. But Jesus didn't say you'll have enjoy a right, good ride. But he did say something else. Let's see the three things that he's attending to. He knows the three things today. We want to speak about the three things Jesus is attending to the people of his disciples. As even we are in our lives, we can be parallel to what the disciples went on to their lives. They had fear of death. Their fear, so many things that came into their mind. Even seeing Jesus Christ, they were fearful. They thought he was a ghost. In that fear, God attended to them in the three different ways. He attended to them by verse 50. He says a verse. He only says one verse, one sentence. That sentence composes him, shows him, and gives his character out to all his disciples. Amen? Let's read that. As the year is approaching, as the year end is approaching and a new year is coming forth, we too have our own fear. As 2 weeks' time, we will have our own things. We are not sure what we have done this year. We do not know whether we are entering into a year of which is not so good or good. We hear so many calamities. We hear so many things that is happening around. We see economies going down. But we do not know what's going to happen next year. But if you have got a fear, God wants to speak to us today. If you are a Christian and still be fearful, God wants to speak to us today. Jesus wants to speak to us today. He wants to take us aside and speak to us today. Do not fear. Amen. As they were one. Number one, what were the context that he addressed to? He addressed their fear. He addressed their problem first. He didn't address anything else, but he addressed their problem. But you see, the way Jesus addressed the problem was different the way that we will address the problem. Jesus addressed the problem in the times you'll find in verse 45 onwards. They were fearful. They were so fearful that the storm was so. They were against the word. The Lord says, I repeated the verse just now. And they saw, and then he saw them, verse 48. Then he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. He saw them. He saw them in trouble. He was not there, but he saw them in trouble. How can a God see you in trouble? We'll talk about that afterwards. They were in trouble. They were afraid. They were afraid of death. How many of us fear death? Those who fear death are people who are not prepared in Christ Jesus. That's why he says today, Paul says it, by renewing our mind daily, filling our spirit man inside with the Spirit of God is the duty of every Christian. I can't see your face, so I don't know whether you're smiling or you're sad. So excuse me. But whatever it is, but you must understand this today, that God wants to take away that fear. For when He is with us, there should not be any fear. Do you believe that He is with you? I believe He's with me. I really believe that He's with me. Because you know why last night we were doing some things here? You can see some changes behind in the church. We are changing some things and setting all aside orderly. And Brian is very happy sitting there now. It's very neat. Everything, every system of the PA system is in order. Just now, only one system went off. We'll attend to it later. But things are in order now. So he's not fearful. He's sitting there and happy. He's not worried about whether the sound was not right just now. But everything will come into order because Jesus is with us. Amen? So the fear of God is greater than the fear of the things of the world, because when we are fearing God and we are with God and we understand God's word and we understand God's character. And in the words, in the entire thing, he says, do not fear. He said that. Do not fear the storms. He didn't say that do not fear. Just say do not fear. He did not fear the storms. In our journey of life, we fear the storms. We do not know what's going to happen next. Even today, the children of many children have sat for the examination this month, last month, the annual examinations. And some of them sat for certain certificate examinations. They are fearful what their results will be like. And the parents are much more fearful than the children. I don't know what's going to happen. If he's going to repeat, I was one of them, okay? I'm speaking out of experience. If he's repeat, it's going to cost me more. Why am I going to find it? I know he's going to waste one more year of his life. So those guys are now holidaying, you know, very nicely. They just want pocket money and holidaying. You are fearful of what's going to happen to the result. So if you are sitting, if the guys have sat for the PMR, it's going to be in January or somewhere around this Christmas time. They also are sitting for Form 5 or Form 6, it'll be sometime in March or April. So until March, you are sitting in fear. Why? You're not sure what's going to happen. So the year is coming, fear. But these people, the word of God said, they were fear of dying. Fear of death. Why were they fearful of death? They were struggling, but they were fearful of death. They were terrified because they were struggling. They were not going to die. They said, I don't want to die. I have not fulfilled it. I've got my wife and my children up there. And you know, I'm sitting in the middle of the boat and the storm is so strong and I want to die and I want to give up. You know, they're giving up on their life. They're giving up on their future because of fear. And Jesus' word is very gentle. He didn't come and say, do not fear. Like how I shout. He said, do not fear. He's very gentle. Amen? He's very gentle. But he walking, he demonstrated his fearlessness, God's fearlessness, by walking on the water. God demonstrate to us in the way we do not expect, the way he will demonstrate to us, to show us the way. When there is a storm, and the wind is strong, would you want to walk on the water? When it's nice and clean, no, nothing or no storm, nothing else, you dare not even put into the water your leg and say, I will walk on the water. How many of you do that? I'm happy for you. Only thing you picture is when you put your leg inside, it will go inside and you'll see the depth of the water. Every time you always go into a swimming pool or anywhere water, we always look at the thing and how much you're going to feel. Until where will the water be? Have you ever thought about, you know, the water will be, I'll be walking on the water? No, our thoughts are never there. Tell me honestly, how many of you think, I'm going to walk on water today? God, I'm going to put now, I won't feel the water, I'm going to walk on the water, and I'm going to be doing like what you did. No storms, you know. Just still water. But you already expect the water to be up, and you expect it to be, what level will it be, yeah? Yeah, knee level? Hip level? I don't want to go in, lah. Chest level, no, I don't know how to swim, I don't want to go. See, we are already imagining about the depth of the water, but not walking on water. Jesus demonstrated to the disciples, and he says, look, the storm is one, but walking on the water, which causes the storm, the wind blows onto the life of yours, and walking on it bravely is greater than anything else. Amen? See, if you've got a parents here who are worried about your children, who've got examination, or the children have gone somewhere, or some of your parents or family members have gone for holiday, now be firm and say, I'm walking in my life. I know I'm walking on water, I will not fall into the water. Because Jesus demonstrated to the disciples, and he says, I am able to walk, even the storm doesn't matter, but I'm able to walk on the water, because the boat was on the water. By demonstration, God shows us his power. Jesus wants to speak to all of us today. Let us not have a mindset of the world which is theoried by the things that people tell you, this philosophy, that philosophy, or this theory, the mathematical theory. God, Jesus Christ, even came against the theory of gravity. How many times did Jesus Christ deny gravity? How many times did Jesus deny gravity? The pull of gravity. Hello? Am I speaking to a bunch of Christians? Hello? Anybody home? So quiet. Let me take out the glasses and see. I see some faces now. How many times did Jesus Christ deny gravity? The law of gravity, that will be, you know, pull, and you cannot go up in the air, you must pull down. How many times? One time was when? He died. He walked on water. He died and rose again. And then the resurrection. Remember the ascension of Jesus Christ? Or did he go around somewhere? No, he went by the air. He denied the power of gravity every time that he raised the person from the dead. So Jesus did not only do three times, he did many times. Today he denies the gravity, the power of gravity. The world was setting, the world's principalities, the world's ways, he has denied it and walked on it. Amen. There is no man who will walk on the water, on liquid, unless it's solid. But Jesus did it. He shows us today that the walk in life is not a walk on land, but it's a walk on water, not knowing where will be the fishes, where will the sharks be, where will the whales to come and trill your boat, or where will be that whatever serpent supposed to be inside the water, or whatever it is. It is so liquid, you can fall into it. That's how life is. And Jesus says, when you walk in life, have faith in me. As I walk, so shall you walk. He demonstrated and attended to the fear. If Jesus can walk on water when a stormy day, what would he do when it's not stormy? Hello? Probably he'll fly in or skip, do skating. Alright? On the water. He's able to do it. You know why he's able to do it? Why is he able to do it? He is God. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Is he God? He proved himself is God. And he's a mighty man of God. He's God himself. He's God. We are serving a God who's mighty. So surely he will be able to do the things that man cannot do. Amen. So he's telling me, if I've chosen you and I've set you aside and you will walk on water, so shall you walk on water as I say, says the Lord to you. Amen. So we will walk on water. We will walk on troubles, but the troubles will not overwhelm us. The troubles will not swallow us. Amen. We will be above the trouble and walking in the midst of the trouble. That's the wind. He was above the trouble. He was walking in the midst of the wind, which is troubled, which causes the water to be stormy. And the boat was swaying in and out this way, whatever way. And he shows us that he can walk through and walk on your problem. Amen. He showed us today the fear you have of dying. Do not worry. Jesus is resurrected, and surely he will take us through. In Job, shows us how mighty our God is. In Job chapter 9 verse 5 to 13, you go back and read. The God who is angry, he talks about anger of God. What he can do during the time of anger. If he sees a child in Psalm 18, if you go back and see, if he sees you in angry, if you see in a trouble, when he call upon him, he says he gets angry. So much so, smoke will come out from his nose. Read Psalm 18 and we'll show you who God is for us. Amen? And the psalmist in Psalm 37 verse 23 says this very clearly about God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. If we are good, we are chosen by God, and we walk in his ways, and we are good, because we understand God, the sacrificial God, God who sacrificed for us his son, and we understand his heart, we understand Jesus' heart, who was willing to be sacrificed. Isaac only asked, where is the wood? Where is the lamb? But Jesus became the lamb. He cannot be Isaac. Nobody can ever be like Jesus. Because he can only ask, where is the lamb? But will not willingly be the lamb. Jesus was the willing lamb for us. Amen? In the storms, we also understand that. He shows us by taking control of the storm. Second thing he does that, storms are part of our plan. He shows us the storms are part of our plan. By he walking through, he shows us. Why I say storm is part of the problem, part of our life. Why do I say that? If you go back to the verses and see, Jesus in the beginning itself is told them, what did he say? He said, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. What did he tell them? Go to the other side. He is telling you to go through a storm. He knows there's going to be a storm. Why would God, Jesus Christ, knowing all, everything what is happening, would ask you to go through a storm to the other side and he's not there in the boat? And he said, you go first. I'll come later. He's telling us, in the life journey, there will be storms. He's confirming that when I tell you to go, there shall be storm. If he's going to call you and he's going to ask you to do something in the life, surely there shall be storm. Even he called me as a pastor after so many years, I still have storms wherever the storms come. But I have to walk through the storms. Even as you get married, you're called to be married to the spouse, and you still find some storms within among yourself. You have to still go through the storm. Because God didn't say it'll be a bed of roses. But remember, there is also thorn with the roses. Right? You slip the wrong side, you'll feel the thorn. You toss this side, you'll feel the thorn. You turn around, you feel the thorn. Suddenly the roses become thorn. Because God didn't give us only the rose, but he gave the whole plant of rose. Hello? So you'll find the thorns. The storms will be always there. Storms will be there, and God will show us the storms. And God is telling you to go through the storms. He says that there is storms that is available there. He explains it to us very nicely, because Jesus is the one who sent them out there into the storms. So believers, when we become believers of Christ, he says, I don't have any storms in my life, man. I'm going to be perfect. Like, there will be storms. Why? God wants you to depend on him. Amen? I know I can't speak for yourself, but I know myself. Sometimes, you know, you are so comfortable, you don't even forget about God. You forget about praying. How many times have you forgot about praying? Because you're comfortable. You're all right. If there is an urgency, what will happen? Day and night, you don't sleep. Pray and pray and pray and pray. And cry and cry and cry. As the psalmist say, you know, I wet my pillow all night. I wet my pillow, Lord, God. My pillow is so wet. When he's in trouble, when it's good times, what happens? He went around to see above where he's supposed to be working. He saw, oh, that woman is beautiful. Hello? You saw what he's trying to express to us? He's supposed to, bad times, he was actually asking God and he's crying. And this time, when he was supposed to be fighting, when the kings go out to war, in Samuel, you'll find that he was out there standing, went out and see. Hey, suddenly he saw one woman there. We are not supposed to be people without belief. We are supposed to be sent by God. And there will be things that God will tell us. God will show us. And God shows us the things that he wants to show us. And he will surely take us through the times that he shows us in life. And stormy times that we go through, God will always guide us. God will always guide us. Because I like the verse 48. Then he saw them straining at rowing. He knows what he was doing. He was not there. He was in a mountain praying. And he saw them straining themselves, trying to row and keeping the boat alive, and keeping a boat afloat. With them up there. It could be tilted. They could be down inside the river, inside the sea. But they did not. They were trying to maintain themselves. So many times in the storm, we are supposed to maintain ourselves to ourselves, steering and steering, rowing and rowing, not giving up, not letting the boat turn. Amen? Amen. These two things God is speaking to us today. Number one, God is asking us to face the problems. Whatever we are facing, God knows the problem. God already knows the problem. Where we are, what we are doing, he knows. Because in verse 48, he says that he already seen what they were doing. Job says in verse chapter 23, verse 10, he already knows what we are going through in our life. What Job was going through. What we are going through in our life now, he knows. He knows some of you are really, really been hot already. You know what's going to happen to my life next year. God allows what he does for our good and for his glory. Romans 8:28. You know that very well. Right? God allows. He allowed them to go through. He allowed them to the disciples to go through so that the manifestation of Christ Jesus will be there. And the belief of them on Christ Jesus, dependence on Christ Jesus will be there. And they will always depend on Christ Jesus. Amen? Right? So when you are in trouble, Jesus did not leave you alone. But He comes around. Number C, that is using the same problem that we are going through, that the troubles they are going through, God is showing them. God is telling them that the storms are always of limited time. The storms will never be all the time. It's only limited time. It comes and goes. So there are patches in our life, there will be storm. Not all the time. Because God, Jesus is there with you. And the patches will be there. The moment He comes and sits, He comes to the place, He comes to the comes to your place, the boat, your boat, the storm ceased. What does the word say? The storm ceased. When He came inside, then He went up into the boat, verse 51, to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed. So surely it will cease. The storms are limited time. Until the time that you experience, until the time you welcome Jesus Christ, the storms. In the time sometimes you have the faith, but the faith some other dwindles, faith some other erodes. Because some things you ask for, Jesus says, this is not a time I want to give it to you. Your Jesus is not giving me like my prayers. I've been praying day and night. No. I want a million ringgit. No. I want a Mercedes Benz. La. I saw my neighbor having 320. La. I want to have 380. How come I've got this, you know, this car, very beautiful car, Mercedes Benz. I've got this thing. But my next door neighbor has got a Bentley, you know. How can he have Bentley? When I've got two cars. He's got one car, Bentley. Can you just imagine? God says, no, this is not a time I want to give it to you. A time and season will come. There are times in my life I prayed a lot of things in my life. Things that I wanted in my life. Things that peace that I wanted in my life. When I was younger times. But today I'm getting that. And I realize that God is telling me, at that point of time, if I would have given peace to you, you would have forsaken me much more than where you are. I'm already in the world. I'm praying, God, help me. And God says, I will not give it to you until I knock you and I bring you through a storm. And you'll understand the storm. At the time when you tossed around, when you went onto the water, I lifted you up back again onto the boat. Now you know. Now I'll give you that peace. If you would have given me a peace at the time, the peace, the love, the joy, whatever may come, there is certain joy inside me when I go back and sleep. Last time, I cannot sleep. I cannot sleep. This problem will haunt me. Everything will haunt me. Right? You might have fever, you might have everything because of the problem. But now the time and season come. When you know Him, when you get to know Him, once you know who is He in you, and once you know His love, once you understand Him, who is He, the power of His, that is everything in Him is limited, but He has got everything is unlimited. The moment you understand that, then the peace will come. There is a time God will give us. God understands our heart better, and our mind better, and our character better than we do. So faith must always remain. Faith will remain, always remain and increase all the time. Never fade away from faith. Never says, God is teaching us today, the limited duration time. How is your faith? Test it. Amen? So we must come out. He's reminding us that, you know, every time you face a problem, every time that you know that whenever there's a problem, your endurance is tested. Yeah? Your endurance is tested. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Go back and read. But you must understand this. When you are in the trouble, when you are in trouble, when you are in storm, when you can't take it, you feel fear comes over everything else, God will surely appear. God will surely appear. Jesus will surely appear. Jesus is teaching us. He appeared the time when they was training in rowing. He appeared the time. He will appear. Have faith that He will just come at His time, not in our time. Amen? The second thing He addressed the people was, His own people, was He addressed their faith. How does He address His faith? I just spoke to you about that. When Jesus came walking on the water, they thought He was a spirit, cried out of fear. And they cried out at that time, and Jesus came there, right? And he saw a spirit coming by, and saw a ghost coming there, and he said, this is ghost, and we must cry out. The other gospels, which parable says, they screamed out. They yelled out. How many of you see a cockroach or a rat will yell out? Or a lizard yell out? How many of you here? I know none of you will put up your hands. Oh, one at least. Honest. Two. Many of them, right, seeing a cockroach, you got a problem like that. What if you see the evil spirit? Cockroach where everywhere, you know how it looks like. Suddenly the Lord appears before you. The Lord allows you to see. What will you do? Huh? Some will just drop dead like that. Because fear. Some are frozen, cannot do anything. Some are so frozen they can't even speak with the name of Jesus. They are believers of Christ. They have not taken the authority. You ask them, no, Pastor, I'm so scared, lah. I saw this, you know. Recently one I saw, one the person I was speaking to, was he saw the person walking without a head. All the jewelry on Nonya, no, like, no, Nonya, all jewelry on, without a head. Every time she says, ah! It goes many times, right? Went on and on. So much so this person does not want to go, this lady doesn't want to go to the place where he used to go. Every time you go to the place, you always see that figure. Can you just imagine if she only takes the authority? And I'm a Christian, why should I be scared of this? He has got no head, I've got head. She has got no head, I've got head, man. She's wearing old clothing, my God gave me a new clothing. She doesn't have a shoe, the old shoe, no, now I've got a new shoe, man. You're out of date, get out. In the name of Jesus, get out. Is that right? So fear, Jesus uses this and shows us our faith. Our faith in Him is important. Our faith and strength in Him. The other day we talked about faith. Go back and read the faith. If I talked about the other day, I showed you about faith. There was a preaching about faith. Go back and understand it. Digest it. I'm standing, after preaching it, I'm standing much more in faith within Christ Jesus. But I know, whatever storm is, even if I'm hurt a little bit, doesn't matter. I know my God will heal. If you allow that to happen, He surely will heal me. Amen? So he will lead you. When He leads you to somewhere, He'll lead you out of the place too. He led the people, His disciples, into the lake, into the sea of Galilee. And He knows they're going to be stormed. Surely He'll lead them out. He appeared when they cannot handle. They appeared when? They couldn't handle. See, many times, why Jesus does not appear in our life, weakening, everything is possible with us, I can do this, I can do that, I can do this. The moment we have this I can problem, we have no Jesus can. The faith is dependent on I can or Jesus can. Some of the people I know of, you know, they, you know them of also, when it comes to a problem, they will say, God willing. Tomorrow I'll see you. God willing, I will see you tomorrow morning. So the faith was in God most of the time, but anyway, the practice not right. Okay, so let's see. Take the good things. They said everything is God willing. They say it, utter it, but maybe they don't mean it. But how much of faith we have? They say, Jesus willing, I'll be here tomorrow morning. My Lord willing, I will be able to do this. My Lord willing, I can overcome this. See, the confession of ourselves, the faith in Christ Jesus, is lesser. The number of times you say, I do, I will do, I will do, I will do, I will do, you increase yourself and decrease the name of Christ Jesus. You lessen by mentioning His name. But if you increase His name higher and higher, and you become lesser, that's what Jesus wants you to do. Faith is He taking control and we letting control. Hello? Faith is He taking control and we letting control. Amen. So the moment He understands that He knows at that point of time they were struggling and striving and they were really, really working hard and trying to get, maybe the rows were not enough. They were doing their best. And these are men or seamen, you know. The men who were sitting on the sea are seamen except for one man or except for two men. One is Judas Iscariot and the other man is Matthew, the tax collector. And nobody else, everybody else out of the 12, this all the 11 of 10 of them know how to row. Their muscles are strong. Can you just imagine? Their muscles are strong and yet they're straining. They can't even row. That's the point of time they gave up. The word of God said they feared dying. They gave up. If they would have given up from the beginning of the storm, Jesus would have appeared at the beginning of the problem. You see the faith? Faith is tested by your action and by the way you think and by the way you confess. Faith is tested by your actions, by the way you think and by the way you confess. Faith is important. Faith in Christ. You want Him to appear in the problems. He will appear. He's willing to appear. But are you willing to allow Him to appear? By your faith. You can only welcome Him by faith. We trust Him. We believe in Him by faith. In faith, we are redeemed. In faith, in believing in Him, we are redeemed. Amen? That's the faith. We know today, many of us say, I'm a new born again Christian. I'm good. My sins are forgiven. You're very sure about that. Let us also be sure of His works, of His power, of His authority, of His ability. Amen? So if we have that ability thinking that no, He is able to do it, surely we will give in the faith. Okay? So these people quickly identified. As He walked on the water, He demonstrated that no, they can overcome and walk. They identified when He said, it's I. What did He say? Be of good cheer. It is I. It is I. This word I has got a lot of meaning. This word I means I am. The biblical word for God's description, His name is I am. When the Israelites was supposed to be redeemed by Moses said, if I go and ask these people, what would they say? I don't know what your name is. And give me a name and address and I will tell them, oh no, this is the man who sent me. Right or not? How many of us ask for a letter to go and see somebody, recommendation? Hello? You don't do, I've done it. Give me a letter, please. I go and see this man, this minister. Give me a letter, please, please. Give me a recommendation, I go and see the person. You want something for your children? Give me a letter, please, recommendation, so that my son can be admitted here. We ask for letters. We ask for addresses. Who the person is who's sending you? Jesus says, I am. I am means a lot of things. I am in control. I am the one who created you. I am the one who sent you. I am. His name is I am. I am is means is all powerful. I am means A, all powerful. He doesn't say anything. He said, I am. God did not tell Moses, go and tell him, I am the God of Israel. I am the one who said it. No. He didn't say that. I am. Go and tell him I am. I am means that He is the most powerful person. I am means He is proven. He is tested. He knows everything. I am means He is over everything around. Amen? Hello? Are you with me? I don't see anybody smiling anyway. It doesn't matter. It's good. Please don't cry. I am. When Genesis chapter 1, 2, you'll find chapter 1 verse 2, 1 to 2, you'll find in creation itself, He talks about I am. He reveals Himself as the creation of the world. That is, I am. I am the creator. When He says, all powerful is, I am the creator. How powerful is this? His power is in creation. His power is redeeming and bringing a flood into the land and redeeming a man He chooses, Noah. Genesis. And remember, the miracles of deliverance of the Israelite people from the land of Egypt. I am is the one who performed. He's in control. He sees what they were doing. He is in control. I am. So I am means it's beginning and it's everything else. The kind of power we are talking about in the powerful things God can talk about is Isaiah chapter 40 verse 12. Can somebody just take out quickly and read from there? Isaiah chapter 40 verse 12. Quickly. It's powerful. Quickly. Are you there? You must get the Bible with all the notes there, I think so. With the text, Isaiah, Matthew.
Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the depth of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance?
So he is telling, Isaiah is showing to us, in a simple click of a finger, everything is done. He knows everything about the entire thing. The depth, the height, even the width, what is consist inside it, what is inside it at the tip of a finger. Just at the tip of a finger. We only call the dogs like tip like that sometimes. I mean, sometimes we call our waiter sometimes like this. It's not right. But Jesus says, God says now, by all powerful means, with the tip, he can do. When the kings, when they call, they used to call just like that. Something will come. Right? They click their hand. They just don't say something sometimes. Olden days kings. If you go back and see movies of olden days kings, you'll see them. Ahasuerus is one of them. The powerful king Ahasuerus is one of them. By click of finger, he can kill people. By click of finger, he can also redeem people. If he doesn't click, he stretches out, they will come. If he clicks, they are dead. That's what Ahasuerus was. So he's all powerful, just like if the king is so powerful to kill people and really give life, much more the man, God, who is, knows everything, who created everything. Amen? That's how powerful. He shows I am means all present. I am means all present. He's all present. His very name is I am. I am means now, present, present. It's a present name. I am going now. It's not I had going. I had gone. It's I am now, present. He's present everywhere. He's present in every area. He's present in the generations after generation. He's present there. I am. I am. He didn't say I was. He didn't say I will be. He didn't say I was, will be. But he says I am. Every generation, every part of our life, every storms that we go through, he's all powerful. He's present. I am. He is there. So Jesus saw that these people were striving. He was there. He showed himself up. That's what it means. He is, I am, all present. Okay, I'll cut short. I've got very nice, lot of things to tell you all. The other thing you can see, you can take refuge in him. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength. Very present help in trouble. What did he say? Very present. He's a very present. Can you repeat that to me? He's a very present. Help in trouble. He's a very present. Can you repeat after me? He is very present. Help in trouble. Amen. So he saw them and they were in trouble. He was very present there. Physically himself. Can you see that? He was very, what he said in the Psalms is already done here by Jesus Christ. Psalm was very much more earlier than him. But Psalm, what they said in Psalm, Jesus exposed it. He characterized it, activated it, and shows this is what I am. I am means this is what I am. I'm very present. I'm very present in your trouble, in the middle of trouble. See, all perceiving. He's all perceiving. The virtue of fact of the fact of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is God, he is the one who knows all things. Nothing escapes his eyes. Nothing escapes his eyes. Can you just imagine? Just I want you to picture the Sea of Galilee is this side. He goes to a mountain which is surrounded, the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains. So he goes to one mountain and he sits there. And I'm sure when he sits there, he doesn't see where the boat is. With the physical eye, you can't definitely see where the boat is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because what time is this? I want you to figure out what time is this now. He's now fed the people. First, he went from this side of the boat, the other side, the deserted place. And the people ran all the way out. Multitudes, about 15 to 20,000 people ran out to see him on the other side. They came faster than him. Now go back and read chapter 6. They came faster than him. And they were there waiting for him. And he was overwhelmed with compassion. And he cared for them. He fed them. Because what did he say? It's already evening time. Dark hour now. Can you hear what I'm saying now? It's already evening time. Dark hour now. Send them away, Lord. So that they can go and buy food outside and go back home. It's dark now. And Jesus said, what? You feed them. And then he fed the multitude. With children and women, you'll find it's about 20,000 people he would have served. Or more than that. It's only men. About 20,000 people. And these people are there. They've already gone off now. What the word of God says, and then he sent them away. Verse 45 says what? He sent them away first. After feeding them, sent them away. Then he told the disciples, you go down. And then after that, he goes up to a mountain. Now, why I'm saying this is because I wanted a picture. Many of us, when we are reading the gospel, we are reading it by just reading it by, we know it's a next word. Understand the sequence. He was now, it is now dark hours now. You can't see the boat inside the sea. And if you see the Sea of Galilee, it's huge. It's a massive lake, I should say. And the mountains are so huge this side. If you go to one corner and sit down, and you see, you can't definitely see. So how did he see? In the spiritual realm, he saw him. Hello? He sees. You cannot escape his eyes. I just explained to you so that I understand the power of God. The power of God doesn't have to be here all the time. I don't feel God. I don't feel that goose pimple, lie, this, whatever it is you feel. I don't feel him, lah. But he's seeing you, what you're saying. Amen? He's seeing. Nothing can go away from his eyes. So his eyes are always upon us. Nothing man can avoid from him. Proverbs 15, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto eyes of him and whom he hath to do. Amen. Praise God. You see how God will talk about it. I'll give you another verse. Go back and read. Go back and see Job 23:10 also. Okay. He knows the way that I take and he knows. Amen. Life is not just like that. He knows every step that we are moving. Everything that we are doing, even in darkness. Even we go to toilet, he knows we are going to toilet. Alright? If suddenly you feel like, you know, in the church, suddenly you feel like going to have a puff outside there, smoke, he knows that also. Alright? Christians will say, very cold at this church. I need a cigarette, no. I must quickly go out there. I cannot do it in the church because, you know, those toilets, they'll smell smoke, they'll go outside too. That also Jesus sees. And he records down, on this day he went Amazing Grace, and then on this day, this time, and you were sick of this pastor, you don't like his preaching, and then you were very cold, and decided to go out to have a puff and come back. Just in time for the lunch. I'm joking, okay? I'm not saying you're doing that. He is. I am means, he's his name. I am means his name. You go back in Genesis and see in Exodus, you'll find in Exodus chapter 1 itself, when he met Moses and Moses asked him, I am, what is your name? What's your address? My name is, I am. My address is heaven and everywhere. I have no address. I am. I am is his name. God is called in many names. I'll just read through some of the names quickly for you. Not all of the names. I won't have time. He declared, when he said, I am, he declared his name and his character. When he said to his disciples and said, I am, the fear went off from them. Do you see that? Jesus was still walking on the water and he has not got into the boat yet. And they were fearful of him. The ghost is coming. And Jesus says, be of good cheer. Be happy. I am. It says, I am here. Be happy. Be of good cheer. And the word of God says to all of us that he lives in us. When I live, I'll leave you a comforter. A comforter is who? The one who lived in him is the comforter for us. The one who lives in Christ, God himself, is the comforter for us. I am is with us. Hello, Christians. Let's wake up. We tend to slumber too much. We don't have to be like Solomon. We have to come to old age. Right? When the teeth all are going off already. And then the hearing is very bad. He says. And the vision. You cannot see the sight anymore. That's the time you now realize the wisdom comes. Let's wake up earlier. Let's not wake up at a later date when Solomon wrote that Proverbs. Let's rise up earlier. Because Jesus is born. Jesus died. And Jesus rose. And ascended. He lives. I am. I am. His character is living life. His character is life. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is there. He is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord our shepherd. You don't need to look for a shepherd. He's always there. He is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord of our peace. He is Jehovah Rophi. The Lord of our healer. Jehovah Kidnesu. Sidneku. The Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord, our sanctifier. Jehovah Helion, the Lord Most High. Jehovah El Shaddai, and you've got Adonai, Alpha, and Omega, and so many other names that is described. If you go on, I will not have time, because every name means a lot. Every name is his character. He shows himself by his character. His name is reflected in his character. He's also God of anger, no? Right? That's his character. He shows himself as his character. If today he's angry, he's a different God. Tomorrow he sees, he's a different God. When you need in trouble, he's a different God for you. His character will show the way we respond to him. Amen. Every situation of life, he's the character that will come and save us up. Amen. He's the character that will come and lift us up. Every character has got his purpose in our life. We would experience his character, but we don't realize it. In our different times of seasons, our storms, we've experienced him. But we sit down and understand the word of God. The Lord has showed himself to us in his character and saved us out of so many problems in our life. Jesus manifests to us. He simply say the fact of don't have to go through all the names of his. He says, I am. Because Jesus himself said in the gospel, in the New Testament, he said, I am the bread of life. John 6:35. Who dare say that? I am the bread of life. Anyone here? Because he was the bread of life when providing the manna. Amen. He is the bread of life for all these people. Those who lived in the desert, they died. But those who eat his bread, eat him, you'll surely live. Amen. I am the light of the world. John 8:12. I am the door. John 10:9. I am the good shepherd. 10:11. John 10:11. I am the resurrection and life. John 11:25. I am the way, the truth and the life. John 14:6. I am the true vine. John 15:1. He is. I am. So when he says I am, he is everything he characterized himself in life. So he is ever present. His character is shown. The third thing he addressed is he addressed their future. There was supposed to be death. There was supposed to be calamity in their lives. There was no hope in them. When the I am came, there was peace. There was calm in the sea. There was calm in the storm. There was calm in the no more fear in the boat. There was joy in the boat. Now he talks about the future to the people. So the third thing that Jesus addressed to these people of his is the future. He does not only save you, take you out of the fear, the habits that we have in our life. He also gives us that he is, who is he, how he manifests in our life. The third thing he talks to us is, he says, I will address their future. How did he address the future? When Jesus came, he knew that they were where they were. He was responsible. He knew where they were. He was responsible to come there and take them out to the other side of the sea. Hello? They were in the middle of the sea. He's a God who came, appeared in the middle of a storm, and he talked about not only I save you from the storm, I will guide you through until you see the other side of the land. He's speaking to us today. If there is an uncertainty in our future, there is uncertainty in our finances, there's uncertainty in our relationship, There's uncertainty of our, whatever we have in our mind, our career, our business. He says, take me in onto your boat. I will show you. I'll calm you. I'll give you peace. I'll come in my character and I'll lead you across the storm to a land that is full of honey and milk flowing out for you throughout your lifetime. That is in heaven. Amen. Amen. You want to see your honey flowing out. You want to see the gold that you want to see in this world. You want to see the things that you want to see in this world. Much more you will see when you see Him face to face. He is a God who talks about future. He's not a God who talks about a back. Oh, you were like this. You know, you were fearful. You were this thing. You were trembling. He didn't even talk about it at all. He didn't accuse them. He didn't say, why did you tremble at time? Why did you look at me and you say, I'm a ghost? He didn't ask them a single word. He didn't even utter a single word. There was peace. How many times do we judge? How many times in our journey, in our life, we judge? We blame others. How many times in a journey, the church is no good, la? I must shift church. This is no good, la? I must shift this. Oh, my husband is too hot, la, tempered. I cannot stand. I'm seeing a monster every day. And he comes looking for the pastor. Is there any way I can get divorced or not? And the wife says, my husband, ayo, he's a terror. You've never seen pastor. Have you seen a lion or not? He's worse than that. No response. Sometimes he's like a monkey, you know. He jumps everywhere, but he never forgot about me. Blame. But Jesus said, when I come into your life, I'll give you the rest you want. I'll give you the future. Don't run to the pastor. Don't run to a psychiatrist. Don't run to somebody. Look at me. I am all I am. Says the Lord to you today. He's establishing our life today. He's telling those church members today, stay, grow, and God will give you. I have a word for you, Brian, and also John Ming. God says, focus on me and walk with your pastor. The anointing will flow through you next year. Amen. You will receive the anointing. Stick together. Stay together in love. In love. Amen. He's always present. He didn't say he's an active person. He didn't say, do not be afraid. He didn't say, don't be afraid for this storm only. The other's all you can be afraid. He didn't say, don't be afraid for this wind. Other's all you can be afraid. He said, be not afraid. Be not afraid. That's what he said. Be not afraid means it's an open check, blank check. How many of you write checks here? I've never written a bank check, you know, in my life. If anyone wants to write, write for me. Write for the church. We've got a Christmas party coming up. Write for it. It's open house. And say, Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, this is actually behind the check right there. This is for the Christmas party open house. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that, Lord, there will be thousands of them will come here. And they will know the word of God. They will know that you live. As we remember today as your birthday, we'll remember you, Lord. But Jesus gave a blanket check to all of us. If that is the literal word that we speak in our language, in the world, His check is open. Be not be afraid. Anything. Any time of your life. Don't be afraid. Stay with me. And believe me. Says the Lord to you, all of us today. He's talking to you. He's talking to me today too. Every one of us are the same. God is telling, do not be afraid. What's going to happen next year? Do not worry about anything else. That me worrying about church members, not many people are not rising up. I'm not bothered nowadays because God will do the rest of it. If they want to study, they will read because they will, it's their choice. God will impart in them. Amen? So worrying about them, I won't be able to teach. Do you understand my distraction? So you don't worry about anything, but just say, I'm going to do it, Lord, because I'm not going to do it, but you're going to do it. He's very present. In our personal life, there are many unknown things that is going to come in our life. There are things that we do not know. We can plan and plan and plan. You can say, I have got all these goals. This is how the structure should be like. This way I should like. I must do this. I must do this. I must get this contact. All those things you can do. But it's still not successful because it has not come to pass yet. But Jesus, when he starts in our life, he knows the present and he knows your future. Because he says, I hold your future in my hands. Amen? There are a lot of questions. What will my family survive on pressure life? If there is a world economic problem next year, what's going to my family going to be do? This Christmas time, I didn't have much money. What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my meals? My son asked me, are you giving a lunch or not during the... My lunch is in the church. Come over. Open house. Anybody can eat, any amount you can eat. God is good. Amen? So he is telling, don't worry about the food. Don't worry about the thing. Things are worried about what my children will be like. Will they be right? I don't worry about my children. If I tell you, if I don't, I think I'm lying to you. Every one of us worry about somebody. Some of you about a husband, some of your wife, some of your brothers, sisters, parents, grandparents. Rest in him. The future is in his hands, not in our hands. Because there are many questions we cannot understand. We cannot answer them. Only Jesus can answer. There are many questions you can ask. There are many people ask me, is the heaven real? You know, this thing, I'm saved like this. I can't answer all that questions. Only Jesus can answer. I don't want to be intellectual with any one of them. Being intellectual is what I've lost before. Be simple. Know God and want to know him more. Understand him more. That's it. And God will take direct care of the rest. He never gives us a faith that he says, no, when you have faith in me, I will not help you. When you have faith in me, I will just desert you. He never says that. There are truths about his saying that his future. Number one, he's ever trustworthy. In our future, he's always trustworthy. Because he will never absolutely abandon us and go off. He has said that many times. I'll be always with you. I'll be with you. Do not fear. He's never said that he has abandoned us. Everything that happens we face, whatever we face, we come back to Romans chapter 8 verse 28. All things work for the good of who love him. So we must highlight what, you know, in all the troubles is love him. Love him means trust him. It is out of love that you get married to somebody. You trust the person. Hello? So trust him and love him and God will do the rest. He's ever available. When he says he's taking care of your future, he's available. The disciples were counting on their muscles. Right? But God appeared and without any strength, any muscles, he just quieted everything else. You know, they were struggling on the with their muscles. So much energy, so much of things was used. Their mind power. Ah, let's concentrate. Maybe Peter was there. Hey, row, 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 row. Somebody must be leading that, isn't it? Maybe Peter or somebody was leading. Row, row, row. Hey, let's row on the left-hand side, right-hand side. But you see, Jesus just appeared. Everything else went away. No more strength. No wonder in Zechariah he says that, not by strength, not by might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Says the Lord to all of us today. Let's rest on him. The Spirit of God will take us through. Amen. He will always count on him. Brother, can you put Isaiah 58 verse 9? What does it say? Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. He will take away the yoke. Where? Suddenly missing already. I can't see him. Sorry. Can you read loud? Or vanities. Okay, amen. See, Jesus says, God's telling us today, you can trust him for the future because if the future is in his hand. He's telling us, when you call him, he'll be there. When you cry, he'll be there. Or what did he say? He didn't say cry in your emptiness. He said cry calling him. Cry calling him. Amen? Calling him. Amen. Praise God. He's ever enough. There are many of us, you know, we are still don't have anything. Money, not enough. Love, not enough. He's everything. He's ever enough for us. When he's in our life, he's everything is enough. Because we know, we don't live by the things of the world, but live by faith in him. Amen? Amen. And he said, they may be true. Situations might come uncontrolled. We cannot control. But every times, rough times ahead of the church, or even in this church, or even our lives, God's people will always be cared by him. God's people will always be cared by him. He'll always provide. Isaiah 45:22, brother. Can you read that loud? I can't read from here. He says, there is no other God. You can read many books, you know, of many different religions. You'll find, they say they are God. They never say that I am the only God. There is no other God. If you can't find any other scriptures where you can say in other books, there is no other God, the only one which you'll find is in Bible. The Bible only says there is no other God. The God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. If there is no other God than them. The same God who appeared to Abraham. The same God who was there with Adam appeared to Abraham. The same God who was there at the time of Adam appeared also to Noah, spoke to Noah. Abraham. Isaac, the new covenant, the new agreement he made with, covenant he made with, Abrahamic under covenant. You saw that he was with him, the son and the son. Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You'll find that even just now when you read. Sister came and read the word in Galatians. The God of what? Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Even the New Testament identifies the same God who appeared to Abraham. The same God appeared to Jacob. Isaac and Jacob also appears to us in the New Testament. His name is I Am. His name is? His name is? His name is? Emmanuel. His name is? Jesus. His name is? Jesus. A time you'll never desert. He's called Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. Amen. And today he's enough for us. When you just call him and we'll have everything else. Isaiah 45:22 says that you call on him and you shall be saved. No others. He's enough spiritually because he's the one who gives us spiritual food and freedom. Hebrews 7:25, Acts 4:12, you go back and read. Financially, Malachi, every one of you sometimes you always take Malachi only. You like Malachi. Malachi 3:8-10. Philippians 4:19. Physically, Matthew 6:33. He is the one who gives us physical. Everything physically we need. Emotionally, Isaiah 26:3. 2 Timothy 1:7. Emotionally, he is all. And eternally, God gives us eternal. He's eternal. He's not just for the season, for this time. He's eternal. Even in heaven, we will be able to reside with him. Even in heaven, we can rejoice with him. Revelation 21:1-7 says so. When you arrive into heaven, the first person you see is the one who seated on the throne. That is Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:1-7 says, when you see him, the first one you see is the one sitting on the throne. Who is that? His name? Jesus. The Lamb upon the throne. The Lamb that sits on the throne describes of Jesus Christ himself and none other. Jesus is called in Isaiah 9:6. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. The world is about to celebrate Christmas next week. And after that we are going to look forward to the New Year. If we do not have this counselor, the wonderful person, a wonderful means that's fulfilled everything else. Everything is inside a person. Wonderful. And he's a counselor. He's the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. We're going to remember his birth. We must keep that in mind. What he said in Isaiah. Whenever we need him, we're always with us. Amen? And lastly, I want to leave with you this, brothers and sisters. Whatever the storm is, whatever thing that comes into us, Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And thou shalt be saved, and you shall be saved, and so shall your house be saved. Amen. Praise God. And I pray today, we as we go into enter into a new year, as we come and see Jesus Christ's birth, as we celebrate, let's celebrate with joy, saying that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He's no longer a baby. He's no longer an infant. We remember his birth. But we will remember that he's grown up for maturity for us. So that we can be mature. We can live in him as a matured person in Christ Jesus. Not an infant which can be tossed around. It's like somebody can be tossed around. Paul calls it. Let us now remember he's lived. He came to this world as we prepare. Our life has got meaning with Christ. Our life has got purpose with Christ. Our life is in Christ Jesus. Amen.